This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for this first hour. I'm really excited for this first hour because I have on what I consider a very star-studded lineup of a lot of fund managers, also some newsletter writers. I know that a lot of our listeners, especially some of our longtime listeners, are going to be very familiar with the guests that I have on the show. Coming up later in the show, I have Mike Larson. I also have Jesse Felder. But to kick off the show, I'm chatting with Axel Merck, President and Chief Investment Officer of Merck Investments. Now, Axel, it's been a number of months. I don't even think I've talked to you since the COVID pandemic hit. So let's start off with kind of a broad look at the market, starting off with U.S. equity markets. We've seen a very nice rebound in markets led by tech, fine, a little bit of weakness recently, but overall, the, I guess, amount of free money that's been created here have really helped to drive markets higher, continuing to have that disconnect between the underlying economy. Give me a little synopsis, please, on your outlook for U.S. equity markets.
Yeah, great to be with you again. Well, I guess we have the best rally the Fed can buy. That's one way of looking at it. Equities are so-called long-duration assets, and the Fed has made sure that the discount factor is very low, and so you can look far out into the future to think about what these companies may be worth. And on top of that, even if some of these companies will cut the dividends, you really get just about nothing on the fixed income side. And so that's been the main driving force. Now, obviously, as there is so much free money, there is some durations that are happening because sometimes the speculators get the better of it and hop onto something and you'll get some sort of bubbles and whatnot. But when I look at my bubble crystal ball, it also suggests it could get much worse. The excesses in the 90s were far worse than they are today. And we just had this week, again, Fed Chair Powell, promise to keep rates, or overpromise to keep rates near zero until and beyond inflation reaches 2%. And so he tells people, buy, buy, buy. And then, by the way, Bill Gross, the former head of PIMCO, says you should lose leverage. Now, I am not recommending that, and he is no longer managing other people's money, so I suppose he can speak freely without a regulator clamping down on him. But certainly the incentives are in place to gear yourself up and play the stock market. And what can possibly go wrong? Hey.
That continues to be, it seems like, the outlook from big money managers. But let's move on quickly to the precious metals, first and foremost, because even after that March washout, gold and silver, gold especially, rebounded strongly. It was only about 6 or 7 weeks ago that gold on, I believe it was the spot market, touched an all-time high, a little close to 2,100. It has since faded a little bit, but very much traded in a range here at levels that we haven't seen gold trade in forever, really, when you talk about how long it's been up here between about 1900 and 2000. What's your outlook for the precious metals?
Well, we see the price of gold isn't really correlated to anything except maybe real interest rates, meaning interest rates net of inflation. And you can measure them in different ways. The place where we find the highest correlation is if we look at the 10-year. And basically, you look at 10-year yields versus the inflation-protected securities, and you can get a notion of the real yield. And there's been a very close correlation. And so now, if you think what's going to happen, well, if the Fed promises to keep yields low, at least on the short end, who knows what's going to happen long end, but aren't they going to be reasonably contained? And then they're going to wait until inflation inches up significantly, Well, to me, that means real interest rates are going to continue to go lower. And as a result, the price of gold, which is basically a brick that doesn't pay you any interest, but at least it doesn't pay you a negative interest other than the storage cost, should do very well. And so beyond that, the sort of bias that we see and increasingly so is on the one hand, the real yield investors. The second buyer is the diversification buyer versus the S&P 500, right? You have the S&P historically in every bear market with the exception of the early 80s, gold has been a very good diversifier. In the early 80s, what happened, Volcker put real interest rates very high. So if you're worried about the stock market, you can put some money into gold and hope for some diversification. And then the third group of investors, those are the speculators. Hey, they love a good trend, and boy, they like a good trend, and so they have been contributing to the volatility, right? And so that's going to create some noise. But we have seen substantial pickup. And then, of course, I haven't even talked about Warren Buffett. They're not investing in gold, but gold miners. And he wouldn't invest. He likes the dividend and the cash flow, right? But he wouldn't like the gold miners if he didn't think the price of gold were to be okay. And the relevance here is not so much, hey, if Warren Buffett does it, I can do it. No, the relevance is that big pension funds, they use consultants. And consultants are pencil pushers, risk averse. If Warren Buffett says it's okay, it is okay. And so I expect the pension funds to kind of get more comfortable with that space. And that as well will put some real money into that space that may well be favorable for the price of gold.
Yeah, it's really just about continuing to build momentum and build interest in the sector, which we have seen interest come into the precious metals sector after really 7 or 8 years of a boring sideways move. But it sounds like you still even think there's a lot more interest and money that could flow in. I want to get your thoughts, though, on the disconnect between gold pretty much at or near all-time highs and silver being almost 100% away from its all-time highs.
Well, yeah, so silver is just much, much more volatile, right? I mean, the gold to silver ratio has come down quite a bit, and gold has, silver has rallied quite substantially. Silver, of course, has the bigger industrial component, and so the dynamics will always be more complex, and it's more volatile. So it's a, silver is there to be frustrating for you as an investor, and you've got to have good nerves to stick around it. So for me, the volatility of gold is good enough, but yes, I do see the case for silver. And it's more difficult for me to have a long-term strategy on silver simply because the dynamics are so complex. And you can push global risk assets, so equity prices higher, but that doesn't mean industrial activity is necessarily going to pick up, and that can hold back commodities that are more involved on the industrial side. All that said, with all the stimuli, it's not just the U.S., around the world, at some point, yes, by all means, I think those commodity prices will get support. But again, you've got to have a long-term strategy because the volatility in these metals can be quite substantial.
Well, especially in silver. And, well, that kind of ties into the moves in base metals. It's one thing I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks here is that, to me, it's still kind of head-shaking that copper, nickel, actually a number of base metals are at levels, higher levels than they were before the pandemic hit. And it's not like any economy is doing anywhere close to the level of economic activity that we were at pre-pandemic. But is this really just a continued story of that much free and easy money?
Well, it's obviously more complicated when it comes to the base metals. There are supply disruptions, there are this and that, right? And then when it comes to these commodities, you always got to think about what are you buying? Like just in gold, you have talked about it. Is it COMEX gold? Is it gold delivery in London? Is it a derivative? Is it the real thing? And so similarly, when it comes to oil, where do you store that stuff, right? And suddenly taking delivery of something is difficult. And so there are lots of nuances there. And talking broadly is a difficult thing. All that said, I do expect major infrastructure projects to be deployed around the world, from Asia to Europe to the U.S. And that those may well help those commodities. But again, most people don't know how to trade these things. And so I'd be very reluctant to tell anybody to, hey, you've got to buy whatever it is, right? And it's going to be a great investment.
Axel, it's great chatting with you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for kicking off the show on the weekend edition. I'll be having you back on in probably another month or two. So have a great rest of your weekend.
Happy 2020.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. You're currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first segment with Axel Murr. Up next in this segment, we have Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter, @RealMikeLarson. Now, Mike, let's quickly recap the Fed statement, Powell's press conference that really didn't say anything new from his most recent statement at the virtual Jackson Hole conference. However, there were some moves in the dot plot and in the Fed expectations when it comes to rate hikes or any rate movements, which now they say are most likely not going to happen until maybe 2024, which is a long way away. And tying that into with the Fed's expectations of the economy, they actually lowered their economic forecasts while also lowering their unemployment rate estimates, which seems kind of contradictory. Please give us a little rundown, a little summary of what you took away from Powell's statement this week.
Sure. There's a lot of head-scratching, head-shaking commentary and data that came out this week with the Fed. And I mean, it starts with a couple of things. First of all, Jay Powell told us many times, I think the Wall Street Journal counted it at 10, how powerful, they used the word powerful many times to describe this guidance that now they're going to strive for an average target of 2% inflation instead of a straightforward target of 2% inflation, and would therefore allow inflation to run above 2% for some time to compensate for periods where it was running below. There's just one problem with that whole approach. I like to cycle for exercise. I bike. My average pace is probably around 16 miles per hour, give or take. I might have a target of 20 miles per hour. I never hit it. And, you know, I haven't hit it for years. So if I just say, well, I can't hit 20, but now my new target is an average of 20, at which point, which means I'll have to sometimes go 22 miles per hour. I can't even hit 20. So how am I going to do that? It's the same with the Fed, right? They haven't hit consistently the 2% inflation target during the longest economic expansion that the U.S. had ever seen, which, of course, ended when COVID struck. And despite the longest period of LERP or ZERP, low or zero interest rate policy in history, along with trillions of dollars of QE thrown at the economy, if they were never able to hit it during that time, and now they're just saying, which is what Powell did, gee, we're going to go for this average too, which means we're going to let inflation run hot. How can anybody believe what they're saying or anybody expect that to actually be an achievable target? It's not. They've already proven they couldn't get to two. So how are they going to get to, say, 2.5 or 2.75 for a while to compensate for the time when they were 1.5 or 1.25? It's just silly. And, you know, when a policymaker has to tell you over and over, no, really, this is powerful. No, we swear it's powerful. Did I mention it's powerful? And the market just kind of shrugs its shoulders and says, you know, that tells you everything you need to know, right? Which is why the, you know, stock market tended to roll over after the Powell comments were being digested and as the press conference went on. And we saw some follow-through selling after that. We also saw in the bond market interest rates pop and drop and the yield curve flatten again. So, again, the market's calling the Fed's bluff because, it, you know, this targeting business, it might work in economic theory and in some ivory tower academic study. But in the real world, it's just pablum. It doesn't mean anything. And the market knows that. You know, I've said longer term, we're basically in a disinflationary environment for not just economic or debt driven reasons, but also structural and demographic ones. You know, so my longer term rational expectation is that the U.S. has basically become Japan or Europe, which means we're going to ultimately see the yield curve flatten towards zero. I mean, you've had negative yielding European and Japanese bonds for many years. And I think that's probably something like what our future holds. So in that environment, I mean, and the Fed itself, the funny thing is the Fed itself doesn't believe its own ability to push inflation up. Because in the same time that Powell's coming out with these comments, they also released their forecast for the next couple of years. And even those forecasts for the next couple of years don't show inflation going above 2%. The numbers were like 1.7, 1.8, whatever. So if you're trying to say we have this policy that's going to push inflation above 2%, and then your own numbers, your own predictions, the own people that are actually voting on this policy put in writing that they don't think it's going to work, why should the market think any different? So, again, it's a big rhetorical exercise. It's a big confidence game. As an investor, you're better to just sort of ignore that kind of stuff and focus on what is really important. And that's all the other things that are holding interest rates down and that are likely to continue doing so for a long, long time.
So, Mike, to your point about the market shrugging off these recent comments, almost growing numb to these comments, isn't this important to understand? Because, quite frankly, if the Fed isn't able to continue to talk the markets up, then doesn't that mean if they want some market stability, they're going to have to use some other tools or increase their easy money policies?
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting on a key point there. You know, if the sort of verbal intervention isn't working, then you've got to do something. But at this point, what can you do? You've already cut rates to essentially zero. You've already said they're going to stay at zero for many years, or at least the horizon of their forecasting period. My personal opinion is we won't see a rate hike off of zero until a year that starts with the digits 203. In other words, 2030 or beyond. If you look at the history of the post-Great Financial Crisis, they didn't raise interest rates for 7 years. Arguably, there are a lot bigger problems, a lot more debt weighing on the economy and a lot of other things going on. So why would it be any different in this cycle? Why would we get a quicker interest rate increase and quicker inflation revival? It's just not going to happen. As far as what can happen, the only thing that really makes a difference at this point is massive fiscal aid. If you look at, you know, the COVID collapse and then rebound, what sort of kept Main Street to some degree afloat and the economy not in as bad shape as it was looking like it was going ahead? It was massive infusions of fiscal money, you know, expanded unemployment benefits, an extra $600 for people in states that they were used to receiving $200, $300, $400 in unemployment benefits. You had some people that weren't even going to work because they were making more money on unemployment than they would have if they returned to their jobs, given weak demand. You had the up to $1,200 stimulus check sent out to pretty much every American making less than a very generous income threshold, and so on. But the problem is that extra fiscal money has run out. Those programs have expired or mostly expired. And ironically enough, the Fed keeps saying, well, we can't do it all with monetary policy. We need fiscal help. But the very Fed actions that it's doing make fiscal action less likely. Think about it. When you go back to the TARP vote in 2008, the initial, you know, they were begging for fiscal money and Congress voted it down. Then the market tanked. I think the Dow dropped 7% or 8% or something on the day the TARP vote failed. What happened? Oh, my gosh, we need to get fiscal aid. The legislators turned around and voted for it 2 days later. That's the same dynamic here. With the Fed basically greasing the market wheels, which neuters the market forcing mechanism, meaning higher volatility, falling stock prices, wider credit spreads, all that stuff that signals distress and that tells legislators, hey, get off your butt and do something. Without that forcing mechanism, what do people do? The legislators retreat to their ideological corners and inertia becomes the policy of the day. So with the Fed suppressing volatility and propping up assets, it makes fiscal aid less likely. And that's why we're in this stalemate where Main Street doesn't get much of anything. The Main Street aid has dried up or is drying up mostly. Meanwhile, Wall Street speculators get all the money they want. We have IPOs of software companies trading at 100 times sales that make no money, like Snowflake that came public this week.
All right, Mike, unfortunately we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but you and I are going to continue this conversation, and everyone listening on the radio, if you want to hear the full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com, and click on that weekend show posting. Everyone stick around, I'm going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
U.S. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Hours later, the fallout begins. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg lost her battle with cancer yesterday. She was 87 years old. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, an hour after the news of Ginsburg's death and before President Trump had a chance to weigh in on the passing, vowed in a statement to fill the seat Ginsburg occupied. Trump is reportedly expected to name a nominee in the coming days, but Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden from Delaware said the path taken 4 years ago, which kept President Obama's pick of Merrick Garland to replace Antonin Scalia from getting a vote, should be adhered to.
Voters should pick the president, and the president should pick the justice for the Senate to consider. This was the position of the Republican Senate took in 2016.
This is USA Radio News. Several towns along the U.S.-Canada border are pushing for local reopenings. The border has been on lockdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. The Washington Post says lawmakers representing Point Roberts, Washington, and Minnesota's Northwest Angle have asked the Canadian Public Safety Minister to ease and clarify the rules. In Boca Raton, Florida, one teacher had a message for parents.
Parents, please make sure that you have on proper clothing when you're walking in front or behind the child's computer. Because we done seen them in their drawers, the bra, and everything else.
That was Edith Pride, an elementary school teacher in Boca Raton. She was addressing the school board at a recent meeting. Pride also asked parents to not appear with big joints and cigarettes. She remarked, "Those joints be as big as cigars. Oh, yeah. We've done seen it all." It appears that her rant has struck a chord with other teachers across the district and the country. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. As promised, I am now chatting with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, let's get right into it with a quick comment on the Fed meeting, Jerome Powell's statement. I've shared my comments a lot, so please share your comments on what your takeaway, what caught your eye with the statement and Powell's press conference.
Well, I think, you know, it's most interesting to me that, you know, the Fed is really, fired all their bullets. They're out of ammunition. They've lowered interest rates to zero. They expanded the balance sheet by $3 trillion. And the balance sheet's been flat for the last 4 months. And so they essentially done nothing for the past 4 months. And yet, Jay Powell, according to the Wall Street Journal, he used the word powerful 10 times during the press conference to describe doing nothing, which is, I think, his desperate attempt to try and convince markets and, that the Fed's not out of ammunition. And there's a great quote from Danny Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, where he says, a reliable way to make people believe in falsehoods is frequent repetition, because familiarity is not easily distinguished from truth. Authoritarian institutions and marketers have always known this fact. So this is Powell trying to convince people that the Fed is not out of ammunition, when in fact it absolutely is. This is really something that the Fed began worrying about a little over a year ago. This is the whole impetus for the rethink about inflation was, I think a little bit over a year ago, the Fed started worrying about the problems presented by the zero lower bound, or essentially when you lower interest rates to zero and you don't really have anything, any other ammunition, that creates problems for the central bank where they are literally out of the ability to stimulate the financial system and thus the economy. And, so now we're at the zero lower bound. And rather than, worrying about the fact that they're out of ammunition, they're trying to convince everybody that they're not. And the truth is, the zero lower bound means that there's not really anything more the Fed can do right now.
How important is it to note that the Fed's attempts to talk the markets in certain directions, even talk data points in certain directions, it's not working?
So there's the thing that I worry about most about this whole situation is the Fed has been very, very good. The Fed is essentially, its powers are in confidence, lie in people's confidence in them. So we saw during the financial crisis, the Fed can't support the stock market unless people believe the Fed can support the stock market. Every time the Fed announced a program during 2008, the market made new lows. And so, but since 2009, every time the market has sold off, after QE1, the Fed announced QE2, markets rallied, they announced QE3, they announced QE4 late last week, last year during the repo crisis, And so they basically trained the markets to buy the dip and that the Fed is going to have their back. So what happened in March is markets sold off. Fed says we're going to come in. We're going to support markets. So we had this huge speculative rally off the March lows. But this huge March rally to new highs has essentially made it appear that we don't need more stimulus, that the Fed has done enough by itself. And this is very dangerous because if you look back during the financial crisis, any time a program was announced, the market rallied a little bit and then broke down to new lows. And that was a clear sign to politicians and the Fed that this is not enough. What you guys are doing is not enough to stop this great financial crisis from unfolding. And so they got the message, we need to do more. And eventually they did enough and the markets bottomed. But right now the market is sending an opposite signal. You guys have already done plenty. And so this is why I think we're deadlocked in Congress right now. So they look to markets. Markets are telling them we don't need any more. And so there really is no urgency. And this kind of creates a dangerous situation where we probably do need a lot more stimulus. But we're getting this message from Mr. Market that we don't need it. And so we could be in a situation where we realize a few months from now, without this stimulus, we just created a much more dangerous economic backdrop than had the markets rolled over to new lows and inspired, more action. That probably would have been a healthier thing for the economy.
Yeah, probably. But central banks, it seems like around the world, are not going to let that happen, are going to try to prolong this as long as they can. Let's switch focus a little bit and talk about a contrary indicator, one that some people note, others might not follow along with this, but the cover of The Economist recently said that oil was dead. This, The Economist can actually usually be a great contrary indicator. On the back of that cover, we've actually seen crude rise back above $40 a barrel. What's your thought on the overall energy sector?
Well, the energy sector is the worst performing sector in the market this year. Actually, if you look at tech versus energy, the spread between the best and worst performing sectors in the market this year is as wide as anything since the peak of the dot-com mania, when we had a very similar situation where tech soared, to ridiculous heights in 99 and early 2000. And energy was kind of left for dead. I think if I remember correctly, the oil price broke from 20 to 10 bucks a barrel or something like that back then. And energy stocks were left for dead. The difference today is that energy fell to like, I think, a 5% weighting in the S&P 500 back in 2000. Today, it's half of that. We're only, I think, 2.4% or something like that weighting in energy today in the S&P 500. So this is by far the most hated sector in the stock market, most hated asset class on the planet right now. And it's probably more hated than it's ever been in history. And so, you know, the Economist came out with their cover story, 21st Century Power. They asked the question, is it the end of the oil age? And my, you know, this, the Economist is probably, you know, the best example of the magazine cover indicator, which is, you know, whenever it's becomes a big enough story to hit the cover of a major publication like this, that trend has gone too far and sentiment has gone too extreme in that direction. And so to me, this is just emblematic of the extreme hate for energy right now. And as my friend, you know, Peter Atwater pointed out, the last time the Economist ran a cover indicator like this, they asked, you know, the end of the oil age. So very, very almost identical to what they're asking today was October 2003, right before we had a huge surge in oil prices from 2003 to 2008-09 or whatever, when they, it was part of the bigger commodity boom, but oil prices did phenomenally well during that time. So, you know, and it's not just the Economist, you know, Pinecone Macro Research is another one, a friend of mine who's pointed out this last week, we've seen Jim Cramer called oil a perma short. We've seen Financial Times and every major financial media outlet point out, you know, just run hugely negative stories about oil right now to me, which is very reminiscent of what we saw in gold back in 2015 when it was bottoming. And, you know, there's also, I find it terrifically ironic that everybody's starting to worry about inflation now, right? The Fed has basically changed its mandate regarding inflation to say, not only are we going to target 2, we're going to try and get inflation above 2. You know, it's essentially the opposite of the situation the Fed was in the early 80s when Paul Volcker, his entire mission was to break the back of inflation. It seems like Jay Powell's entire mission today is to create inflation. And at the same time, as you have the most powerful central bank on the planet determined to create inflation, you have probably the asset that does best in an inflationary environment is the most hated asset on the planet. So to me, this all just kind of strikes as a very unusual opportunity in the energy space right now.
All right. Well, Jesse, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on the weekend show, sharing your thoughts on the Fed and on some opportunities you see in the energy sector. Great chatting with you, Jesse. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll chat again in another couple weeks. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNLive.com.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos. Beat rising food prices. But above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I am wrapping up the weekend edition with a company update. I hope everybody enjoyed those first three segments where we talked a lot more big picture for the markets, and even piggybacking on the back of what Jesse Felder and I were chatting about at the end, more of the energy sector. We're getting an update from ISO Energy now, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ISO, and on the OTCQX under the symbol ISENF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Craig Perry. And Craig, I wanted to wrap up the show with you because ISO Energy released some pretty impressive drill results earlier this week. Headline numbers were 12.8% U308 over 9 meters. This is in drill hole 54. There are a few other highlighted drill holes in the news release that just talk about strong mineralization, no actual grades in terms of U308 as you're still waiting on getting those back from the assay labs. These drill holes are on this hurricane zone, this relatively new discovery by the company, all within this La Roque East property in the eastern Athabasca Basin. Craig, give us a little summary of these high-grade drill results and how they are continuing to expand on this hurricane zone discovery, please.
Yeah, hey Corey, good to be speaking with you again. Look, we're just thrilled that, you know, these are the first assays back from our summer program. Of course, we launched an expanded summer program about 3 weeks ago. We've got two rigs going around the clock as we speak. And we put out some fantastic scintillometer results 2 weeks ago, and that pointed to the news release we were going to put out today. So, you know, 9 meters at 12.8% U308. If you were to put that into gold equivalent terms at long run gold prices, that's about 9 meters at 3 ounces per ton gold. So, you know, extraordinarily high grades. Of course, that's what the Athabasca Basin is known for. And I think, you know, this points to the very high grade and large nature of the deposit we've got. You know, certainly I think the most exciting uranium exploration play on the planet today. And our share price performed pretty well off the back of the results we had from the winter program earlier in the year, and that little rally in uranium prices that we got. We're the best performing stock this year, but a little bit disappointing today to see that the market hasn't really responded greatly to the news we put out. So I suppose to my mind that represents a great buying opportunity for investors. These new results haven't been factored into our share price at all. And that's important when you think about what typically happens at the end of the year. Typically as an industry, we all get together in the first weeks of September in London for the World Nuclear Association Symposium. And that's when the producers and the big customers, particularly those customers in the US like Exelon, start talking Turkey about long-term contracts and uranium pricing for those contracts. And typically what we see is the uranium price really takes off in the back quarter of this year. So we're yet to see that. The supply side, of course, is just so very, very tight at the moment. Even the most bearish of commentators have turned bullish in the past few months. We've seen massive cutbacks in production globally. And so supplying those customers and feeding product into those long-term contracts that they're negotiating as we speak is going to be incredibly tough. And against that backdrop, you're just going to see ISO Energy putting out a slew of great new results. Corey, probably worth touching on that news release, which people can find on our website, isoenergy.ca. You'll see a couple of course, the headline is that 9 meters at 12.8% uranium. But very importantly, we drilled a couple of holes on the southern margin of the high-grade zone of the deposit as it stands at the moment. And if people go to figure two of that latest news release, they will see that we've really expanded the width of that very high-grade zone with these last two drill holes. Those holes are LE2062 and LE2064. And what that means, you know, I think we're well on track to having a large high-grade uranium resource based on the results of the winter campaign, which we finished back in March this year. These two new holes really expand that significantly, and what they also do is open the deposit up to the east again. And if people go to the cross section in figure three in that news release, you'll see that we've gone from the deposit was, you know, that we defined was about 20 to 30 meters wide up until this drill campaign. These two new holes have added another 25 to 30 meters to the south. So we're now talking about a zone that's about 60 meters wide, and that really doubles the potential of the resource that we've got there. And very importantly, this mineralization is on all of the previous drilling are on the H and I faults, which is where we've made that discovery. We've now drilled to a fault to the south called the J fault and then the K fault. And those structures all of a sudden look very prospective as well. So what that does is open the deposit to the east and open the strike length to the east. So we've got further targets out there to test. So, you know, I think we're probably a good chance of expanding our drilling campaign. We're only halfway through that campaign at the moment. People will see the results we put out this morning on those southernmost holes that extend the deposit to the south significantly. One of those holes was 4.5 meters at greater than 500 counts per second on the scintillometer, including 2.5 at 30,000 counts per second or above, and then another hole on that J fault structure that hit 5 meters at greater than 500 counts, and that included 4 meters at greater than 30,000 counts per second. If you go back, just to put that in a little bit of context, you can, you know, fairly readily compare the sink results that we've had in the past with our other holes. And what we know then is that the assays from these two holes that we've announced today, when we finally get them in a month's time, we'd expect them to be really very, very high. And that's when we typically get recognized for the quality of those results. Previous explorers, you know, NextGen, Fission and Hathor included, always refer to off-scale, you know, very high-grade mineralization as being greater than 10,000 counts per second. So we've got a huge amount of off-scale mineralization in those couple of holes. So, you know, expect some really, really good news flow over the next month or two as we assay those holes. And then as we continue to drill and expand, and I couldn't be more thrilled. I think we were all very hopeful that we would expand the deposit to the south, but you're never certain. Exploration's a tricky and risky business. So to see these two holes come in, I can't overstate how important that is to the company and the deposit and how we're shaping up. So, you know, absolutely thrilled to bits with how this has gone in the past month.
Okay, so in summary, yes, very good drill results, expanding on the at least high-grade results from the past. Now at 60 meters wide and with this kind of grade, are there any comparisons that you can make to other projects, any deposits, even any other mines where people can compare and see the potential scale that could come out of this?
Look, that's a fantastic question. I think the sort of most likely obvious comparable at the moment would probably be Denison's Phoenix deposit. Of course, Denison's now a $350 million company, so we're only a $100 million company. We've got a long way to go to catch up to them. But to my mind, this is shaping up to look like something of a Phoenix-type deposit, notwithstanding the fact we actually had one of Cameco's ex-chief geologists out to site. He's now working as a contractor, a guy called Dave Thomas. We had Dave look at it, and he tells us that one of our holes, the best hole we've drilled today, hole 34, which we drilled earlier this year, it's the only hole he's ever seen outside of in the basin outside of Cigar Lake that looks like that. So, you know, we're excited by that commentary. We're excited by how big this is getting. Could this be a giant Cigar Lake? It could absolutely. Of course, we don't own the deposit cuts off at the boundary to the west of us and goes on to Cameco ground. But if you include that out there and based on what we're seeing, this could be really one of these giant deposits. So, look, I just thrilled to bits. We've got a lot of work to do. I suppose this means that we're going to be drilling there for a couple of more campaigns before we get to the edges of the ore body and understand exactly what we've got. But, gee, it's looking good right now.
One of the things to consider, too, is that ISO Energy is one of the best-performing uranium stocks over the last, I believe, 12 months, if not even more than that. And that just goes to speak to the type of drill results that you guys have managed to generate here. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of ISO Energy. We're going to follow along as more news hits the market. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Whether those questions are for Craig regarding ISO Energy or any of the other companies that I have had on the show throughout the week. Always happy to hear from all of you, my listeners. Everybody, Craig, you included, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Great to speak.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I'm here with Scott Jusium, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.